Hello, beautiful people. Today, I've got a doozy for you, all right? It's gonna be quite the episode. We just have so much meat to get into. Sorry, vegans. Just kidding. I love vegans. Maybe we should remix that saying for them, okay? We've got a lot of leaves to get into. You like that? But yes, we'll be talking about so many things, from body dysmorphia to social media, plastic surgery, looks maxing, steroid use, and ultimately, the business of beauty standards. Let's begin by saying, it is just crazy to think about how often I think about how I look. Or how often do you think about how others are thinking about how you look and perceiving you? And for many of you, I hope that's not very often, but for some of us, I think it might be more often than we'd hope. Of course, it can fluctuate, right? There are points where you feel better or worse about yourself. But to be honest with you, I feel like being online and the rise of social media has only exacerbated these issues and bad habits, like mirror checking, comparing our bodies to others. And it's made these issues more common and a lot more complicated. From filters that seemingly perfectly enhance how we look, to undisclosed plastic surgery or steroid use or editing tools, sometimes it kind of feels like we can't trust anything we see online, right? But is that really true? And should we blame the user of these tools or the people who put such a pressure on the user or shamed the user into using those tools? So I looked into a few studies and they really show how social media is such a double-edged sword. On one hand, there are very, very clear benefits to someone being able to express themselves, their thoughts, their feelings, and getting a type of social support that they might not be able to have in their everyday life. But research also indicates that there's a link between social media usage and psychological problems like anxiety and depression and lowered self-esteem. And I can only imagine how much more impactful this is on young, developing minds, especially young girls who are already bombarded with pressures regarding how they appear. And of course, men experience this too, and I want to touch base on that, especially in relation to looks maxing, undisclosed steroid use, etc. If I ever don't give enough of a male perspective, obviously, sometimes it can be hard given my lived experience, but I always want to try to speak on topics from the perspective of as many different people as I can, because I think oftentimes that can also help us understand the topic that much better. And I really appreciate being able to lean on you guys and ask you things in order to have a more informed perspective. Anyways, just wanted to throw that out there. Let's start off with filters. Something that I definitely use at times. In my opinion, honestly, filters can be both a good and bad thing. Frankly, cameras alter how we look. Whether it's the camera itself or the lens used, I'm going to put up a beautiful diagram here showcasing how different lens sizes used on a camera can literally change the shape of your face. Or the fact that cameras capture a certain level of detail that is so far from what the naked eye can see. Like, human beings do not have 4K vision, okay? When I'm talking to you on the street, you cannot count every single pore on my face, but a certain camera, oh, it can. And frankly, this can make us look worse in photos sometimes than we really do in real life. So when editing or filters can correct for this, I think it's actually quite nice and can almost be more true to life. But, of course, that's not what all filters do, or even most filters do. A lot of them drastically change how we appear, and in turn, our expectation of what we should look like can be drastically impacted as well. There have been plenty of Instagram filters that I try on, and I see, oh, it made my lips so much larger. It gave me a lifted look to my eyes. My skin looks like I'm an AI-generated baby that just came out of the womb. And to be honest, I don't think it's good for my brain to see these things. Like, to look at a perfectly altered version of myself, a version of myself that I can look at and see, oh, this version clearly fits the current societal standard of beauty a lot more than I do naturally. And it leads you to thinking, oh, should I get lip filler? Is my skincare routine not enough? Do I need a facelift in my 20s? On top of that, there ends up being a sense of almost like disappointment when you see yourself without the filter afterwards. Whereas if you had never seen this quote unquote augmented version of yourself, you'd likely be far more content or feel neutral about your appearance. But being repeatedly presented with a quote unquote better, again, better is such a subjective term. I'm mainly saying better as in more in line with societal standards or whatever features are trendy on any given day. But anyway, when you're presented with this comparison of this quote unquote better version of yourself and your natural self, it's very easy to feel and view your natural self as less than. And this is before we get into comparing our natural selves to filtered versions of other people. Or even talking about the underlying problematic ways that filters can change us, whether that's lightening our skin tone, changing our ethnic features, etc. Ooh, that's a whole topic in and of itself. But I actually had a phase where I fell into this online rabbit hole of how to get prettier, how to be more aesthetic, looks maxing, this, that, and a hat. It started off as almost like a morbid curiosity of, what is all this content about? And all of a sudden, you know, you start learning about every single feature of yours that isn't perfectly in line with how a perfect face should look, and mewing and different workout regimens and different procedures you should get if your eyes or your features or this looks like that. And it just got to a point that was so mentally exhausting that I was like, God damn, I'd rather be ugly than mentally exhausted. No, but seriously, it was so overwhelming. And once I cut those things out of my life, oh my God, I felt so much better about how I looked. I think Mimi might have some thoughts on beauty standards too. What do you think? Insightful. But yes, ultimately, these filters will likely make you want to get some sort of beauty procedure or work done. And this isn't to say you can't do those things. I'm not against plastic surgery whatsoever. But I'm also not strictly pro-plastic surgery. I am very much pro-respecting people's choices. I'm pro-research. I'm pro, like, really thinking things out before making a decision. But my point is more so, the reality of the case is no matter what beauty procedures I get done, I will never look like a filter. A filter is like a fantasy. It's unattainable. It's the metaphorical carrot stick in front of the horse, and we just keep running and running and buying products and booking appointments and doing this and doing that. And to to me, this is really evident because even celebrities are constantly compared, like how they look in photos and with filters versus how they look in person. And these are people who clearly have access to the best doctors, the best procedures, the most resources, and even they don't look like a filter. And that's because at the end of the day, they are still a human being. Our skin is a living organism that has processes and functions within our body. It is impossible for it to look the same way or perfect all the time, or maybe even at all. And so, why do we have this standard for ourselves? The answer is actually pretty easy. And it's because our brain expects what it sees. And if our brain only sees these perfectly filtered versions of skin, it's going to think that that's what skin is supposed to look like. And that's why it's important to touch grass, okay? I do quickly want to caveat that filters can still be fun, okay? They can be so fun. You can see yourself with cute stickers or different hairstyles or different hair colors. And sometimes filters can actually inform our decisions and maybe make us think, oh, maybe I do want to change this aspect of myself. Also, have you guys noticed how certain features are trendy? Like literally certain body parts of ours are trendy? And so filters evolve so much faster and easier than we ever could as human beings. I had a best friend in high school, love her. You know what, I'm gonna shout her out because I know she listens. Diana, love you. She was at some point in her life bullied for having larger, fuller lips. And now that that certain feature is really trendy, she's praised for it. Do you remember just a couple years ago, having thicker or a curvier body was really, really popular, like BBLs? And now it kind of feels like what's becoming a bit trendier is being like super skinny, like in the 90s and 2000s. And quick side note, do you remember how in the 2000s, there were these crazy tabloids and headlines that were body shaming celebrities for quote unquote looking fat when they were quite small or fit like the beauty standard or societal expectation of a skinny person? And it is insane to look back at these photos and think this is what we were being told is considered fat. I also hate using that word because people use it with such vitriol, and I don't ever want to sound like I'm doing that. I have nothing against the word fat. I think it should be a cute word. That might sound weird to some people, but anyways, seeing these headlines and thinking back to this time, oh, it makes my blood boil. Every time I say the word boil, I think of a boil and it like wants to pop. And kind of that's how I feel. I want to pop with so many things to yell about because it is so shameful. Like this kind of rhetoric and these kinds of issues lead to a generation of insecurities. And there's no one who's going to take responsibility for that. These companies, these tabloids, these headlines, they're faceless. They're just a big corporation. And instead, who suffers? The day-to-day person who sees this and feels terrible about themselves. And also, nowadays, because of these sorts of pressures and ideals, celebrities oftentimes feel pressured into getting things like liposuction or going on Ozempic to lose weight, etc. And again, I never ever want to sound like I'm shaming someone for whatever choices they decide to do with their own body. And I hope you guys don't do that either. Okay, that's not nice. Especially because oftentimes people change things about themselves because they were shamed to feeling some way about how they look. And so why are you going to shame them after they change how they look? Like, oh, we want to double shame people now? Make it make sense. And that's kind of an interesting point too. How come, you know, the same people who are going to shit on you for looking a certain way and call you ugly and say they hate this and hate that, once you go and change these things and perhaps think you're going to appease these people, oh, there's just going to be a bunch of other people who shit on you for getting work done. There is no winning. It's lose-lose. And there is a sort of misogynistic undertone to that. Like, I'm sure girls can relate to feeling like they are in a lot of lose-lose situations, you know? Don't be too quiet, you'll be overlooked. Don't be too loud, you're going to come off as a bitch. Or, you know, don't be with too many men, you'll be considered a slut, but don't be a virgin because then you're a prude. Like, oh my God, it's like you can never please people. I just wanted to say all of this and also give the disclaimer that I think these topics are important to talk about and to discuss trends in beauty and in procedures. And we can do that without individually shaming people for choosing to do whatever they want with their body or choosing to participate in certain things. That is not at all what I'm here for. Damn, my voice is giving out. Ooh, I should drink tea more. I'm a podcaster. I've got to drink tea. Okay, back to trendy features. The reason I bring this up is because clinics, doctors, companies, corporations, they all profit off of treating our features and our bodies as a trend. And from invoking insecurity into us via these trends so that they can then profit off of those insecurities. Like this year, we like big butts, get a BBL. Next year, we like big boobs, so get a boob job. This year, take out your butt and then change your nose. Next year, have one ear kind of smaller than the other ear. Like, it's giving Mr. Potato Head, okay? This ain't Build-A-Bitch, okay? It's just so exhausting to see. And of course, people can change whatever they want about their bodies. That's their prerogative. But my point is more so these companies, these clinics, these places, they don't really give a fuck about whether it suits you. They don't give a fuck about your overall facial harmony or your proportions or whether you will even be happy and healthy and safe after a procedure and happy with the end result or how safe and effective it is at any given time or whether the person administering something is truly properly trained. Sometimes they don't even care about that. All they want is for you to swipe that card, baby. It's in their benefit for beauty standards to constantly evolve so that they can constantly sell us something new. Slim thick is in, here's a waist trainer. Skinny is in, here's some weight loss pills. And to be honest with you guys, don't tell anyone, but that stuff gets to me too. I have felt this like little voice in the back of my mind that's like, ooh, like, should I get skinny? Maybe people will like me more or think I'm prettier or think that it was impressive and such a feat that I was able to lose so much weight. I kid you not, it's like an evil little voice in the back of my mind and I need to tell it to shut its trap because everything it says sounds like the first step towards a very, very unhealthy relationship with food, with exercise, with self-image, and maybe someday an eating disorder. I have seen plenty of people online who are praised for their bodies, then go on to talk about the extreme measures that they have to take to have such a physique. Sometimes they're honest about it, and sometimes they're not. One example that comes to mind is a YouTuber that I really like. I loved her videos, and she made a video about how she manages her figure. And in that video, she explains that she stays so thin by eating one meal a day. And she even expressed that she doesn't recommend this for most people and that she doesn't always have as much energy as she'd like because of that. And we always hear about these kinds of diets, whether it's from celebrities or K-pop idols. And there are also kind of similar issues with bodybuilders online. And these are people, I'm talking about like bodybuilders and fitness influencers, people's people whose literal job it is to influence us to want to work out or look a certain way. But a lot of them pretend that they got their physique naturally or through hard work, when in reality, could have been some other kind of work or steroids, injections, and other means to achieve that goal. And again, it is not at all my place to judge someone for doing that. However, I do think that if it is your job to present your physique and say, oh, I got to looking this way by doing these workouts, but that's not the full story. I feel like there's a level of almost like false advertising there and dishonesty or disingenuity. It's not genuine, all right? Whatever that word is. But yes, essentially you're kind of promoting a false standard to your audience who is very impressionable and looking to you for health and fitness advice. Have you guys heard of Liver King? Liver King is a very popular fitness influencer who rose to fame by promoting a carnivorous raw meat diet. You heard that right. Raw meat diet. While obviously looking like insanely buff and working out a ton. But not long ago, there were email leaks that showed that he spends $11,000 a month on a steroid regimen while having always claimed that he's never done steroids, never touched steroids. He did issue an apology, but ultimately, this is kind of a good example of how it's understandable why it would feel really difficult to trust anything you see online. And hey, that rule applies to me too. I've used filters. I may not like edit my body a lot. Like, you guys see my body all the time anyways, you know, what's the point of editing it? But I like editing my photos to be prettier or more dynamic or more colorful. And that's still editing them. I actually posted also a good TikTok example of how people can pose and how their body can look so much different than how it might unposed. And to be honest, I oftentimes worry about the responsibility that I bear when posting things like, am I putting out a false image of myself? But, you know, it makes me feel maybe good about myself, or this is what I feel like my best self looks like. Sometimes I wonder if I'm putting these images out, is it invoking insecurity in anyone else? And I think it's kind of easy to get swept up in these concerns and what ifs. So instead, I try really hard to just focus on being honest and spreading good messages, like I do here on the podcast, hopefully. I do care a lot about the influence that I have, and I would hope that if I was ever in a situation where, like, a lot of women in my audience were telling me that something I did or posted made them feel negatively in any sort of way, I would try really hard to own up to that and to do better and to be really receptive. But if it's any consolation to anyone, I feel like no matter what you look like, someone might not like it, okay? You could be the juiciest peach in the world and someone might just prefer apples. Kind of related, kind of not, but during COVID, I gained a bit of weight and I was looking a little bit plumper. And to be completely honest with you, I didn't mind because personally, I kind of like girls, you know, who are a little soft, curvy, plump, whatever terms you want to use. Like, I think that looks really, really cute. So when I gained more weight, I didn't really mind. Like, I looked at myself and I was like, it's kind of cute, whatever. But I ended up coming across this group of men online, like this whole group's sole purpose was to sexualize how I looked at that specific time under the pretense of it being like quote unquote fat, like the quote unquote fatter version of myself. Literally, that's all they did, all they talked about, saying the nastiest, weirdest stuff, even going as far as to like take photo, like take screenshots of me and then draw me or where my like potential roles could be, like literally draw me under my clothes. It was disgusting, okay? And to be completely honest with you, it kind of motivated me to lose weight. As if, you know, by losing weight and shedding this quote unquote fat, as if doing that would dispel all of this bullshit. When let's be for real, it doesn't matter what my body looks like. If someone wants to sexualize me, they're gonna try to. Whether you're thin or not. And that is not your fault. And it's not the fault of your body shape either. Anyways, fuck those guys, okay? But yes, nothing wrong with being skinny. Because yes, skinny people get shamed too. And that's not okay. Or curvy, or heavier, or whatever. Like, can we please just let people live? Life's hard enough as it is. And I think most people know when they feel healthy and well, and they should just lean into that. But instead, there's this insane pressure of fitting into a certain trendy body shape. And I also think we kind of need to talk about how people's literal skeletal structures are different. Like some people's skeletal structure has wider hips or more narrow hips or wider shoulders or more narrow shoulders. Side note, there's an interesting phenomenon. I wish I could remember the name. If I can, I will interject it. But it's essentially how, like, a lot of the times you might hear people say, oh, swimming is really good for like building out your back and giving you a wider, larger back. But that's not entirely the case. They just see a lot of professional swimmers who have a certain body shape. And so they think, oh, swimming makes your body look this way. But the reality is, if you are born with potentially broader shoulders, you're probably just going to be better at swimming and you're more likely to be a professional swimmer. Does that make sense? Correlation is not causation, essentially. And sometimes I feel like the same thing happens in social media. Anyways, back to body shapes. My whole point is like, because of the way that your skeletal structure is, it might not matter how much you diet, how much you work out, what you do. You might still not look like your favorite celebrity, and that's okay. So please don't harm yourself in such a pursuit. Like, you're so fine as you are, and your body can do much more important and beautiful things than just be aesthetically pleasing to someone else. Our bodies move us around, they fuel us. Like, okay, this is kind of gross, but do you ever think about how we like eat food and turn it into poop, and then we poop the food out? Like, our body does so much, and what, we just expect it to look the same while it's doing all of these intricate processes? That is insane. That is actually cuckoo beans. Ultimately, our bodies are vessels to carry us through this life, hopefully through many happy and healthy years. They are not an inanimate object that we craft and then place, and it's just supposed to look that way all the time, forever. It's just an unrealistic standard, and it hurts me that being on social media strengthens the voice in my mind that wants to think that. And ultimately, what do all of these things relate to? Pretty privilege. That's right. And the feeling of safety in beauty. Oh, people will like me more if I'm prettier. I will be of more value. People will be nicer to me if I'm prettier. And I would love to tell you that that's bullshit, but it's not. Unfortunately, pretty privilege is real. We live in a shallow, shallow world, and people can give you more grace depending on how you look. But that absolutely does not mean that looks are everything. Or that we need to kill ourselves trying to achieve this unrealistic beauty standard. If you want to tap into pretty privilege, that's your decision. I don't blame you. But My personal philosophy, at least, is that, you know, I will do things that are fun and safe and easy, that make me look better and feel better about myself. But revolving my entire life around how I look and making any and every decision for that ultimate purpose, or risking my life to improve how I look, I know making those decisions would make me sad. I know I would feel like I'm objectifying myself, and personally, that would not bring me joy. And that boundary, that line, it's gonna be in different places for different people. And so I hope you can find a balance that brings you joy, brings you peace, brings you health. Because yeah, it's gonna be different for everyone. Ultimately, I just really want us all to cultivate our own ways of viewing other human beings, so that these companies, these clinics, these algorithms, and these trends, and these filters, and all this stuff, it has a little bit less power on us. And so that we can truly do what we want, instead of being at the mercy of these things that are trying to brainwash us into wanting certain things. Being online, it feels like, ugh, the internet is telling me this feature is good, this feature is bad, this body is good, this body is bad. But in my day-to-day life, I don't feel that way at all. And it scares me to think like, oh, maybe the more I am online, the more I'm going to start viewing things that way. Frankly, I have a very complicated relationship with self-image. Having been in the public eye for so many years, I have seen people do and say and edit and whatever the craziest things about how I look and about my body. And I think as almost like a self-defense mechanism, I kind of just like lost touch with my self-image. Have you guys heard of the term body neutrality? I think it kind of spun off of the term body positivity, which is like feeling really good about how you look no matter what. I think body neutrality is more about just being neutral in regards to your body, as in, oh, my body just looks the way that it does. It's not necessarily good or bad. It's just a body doing what it needs to do and just overall feeling really neutral about it. I do quite like that term and that ideology. And I guess it's almost like I am self-image neutral, but from, frankly and unfortunately, a point of being numb, because I've had people use the way that I look against me or use it to their own purpose and means in order for them to profit or what have you. And so you might hear me sometimes say, like, I almost like don't have self-perception. Like, I don't know when I look good. I don't know when I look bad. I don't know when I look whatever. I'm just a little bit numb to it all, okay? But don't worry. I'm going to work through that in therapy and I'll get back to you. I think ultimately when it comes to the messages that I see online, I kind of think that what I want to be told is that how beautiful I am or how quote unquote ugly I am just doesn't have to be the end all be all of my life. It may appear like it is on social media, but that is so far from reality, especially if you just take a step outside. And what a freeing thought it is that our outer appearance can be the least important thing about us. I say can because, of course, the reality is that appearances matter to people. But you can choose what kind of life you want to live and how much of a role that you want appearance to play in that life. Whether it's who you surround yourself by, the kind of content that you consume, or the line of work that you choose. These are things that are in our control. And I think it's just a very nice reminder to consider that. And honestly, I think one of the best reminders is to spend time with people outside and see how in real life, some of the most important moments in your life are going to be those that have nothing to do with how you look. Also, I'm sorry, but I feel like I've presented you guys with a lot of modern day issues and potentially some emotionally exhausting thoughts. And sometimes it's hard not to wonder, like, ugh, is this just going to keep getting worse as technology and social media progresses? Well, I don't want it to be all bad. And if you know me, you know I have a bit of a knack for optimism. Or sometimes I like to call it coping. Copium. I'm really good at coping, okay? So I'd like to leave you with some parting gifts. And hopefully that might leave you feeling optimistic too. Starting off, regardless of the pressure that I feel on social media, frankly, my lived experience is that when it comes to instances in my life where I feel my happiest, like the realest, rawest experiences, the most honest ones, the ones that mean the most to me, my appearance doesn't really matter much in those instances, you know? When I'm sitting on my couch at 2 a.m. with a best friend, eating chips and watching a show, she doesn't give a fuck what I look like. You know, when you're snuggled up under the sheets with your favorite person, or, you know, when you're at the dinner table with your family and you're feeling grateful for the life that you have. Those moments that mean so much to me just have nothing to do with what I look like. The most precious moments in life transcend physical appearance. And if anything, it's almost kind of easier to be vulnerable with someone and feel more connected when we're not all like dolled up and worried about how we look and trying to present ourselves a certain way. There's a place and time for that, don't get me wrong, and it can be fun, but thank God it's not all the time, okay? And for me, the things that have brought me the most joy in life, namely my cats, my friends, my family, things like that, the things that brought me the most life and the most life, the things that brought me the most happiness and joy in life were never how I looked or how good I looked on a certain day. And of course, there have been times where I felt physical appearance has become too important in my life or work. And during those times, here are a few things that I do to kind of try to ground myself, get myself to a better headspace, and to try to overall minimize winding up feeling that way. One, making sure the people that I follow on social media, I follow them for the right reasons and being very, very aware of the content that I'm consuming. Oof, I think it's so easy to watch things, to just watch them and to be like, oh, I'm just intaking more information, but no. What we watch impacts us a lot more than we think. You might think you're strong enough to not let it impact you. Your subconscious is subconsciousing, okay? We are not as in control of our subconscious as we'd like to think we are. And I think it's really easy to idolize people that are beautiful for being beautiful. But I find that it really helps me to follow people or pages for reasons relating to things aside from beauty, whether that's work or ideas or the effort they put into their content or their fashion or the words that they say or whether they make me laugh or whether they make me feel at peace, just things a bit beyond appearance. It's just when I see that content, it is then a reminder of valuing people for reasons outside of how they look. And that prevents me from comparing also. Another thing, I've started trying to be more considerate of how and why I compliment people and trying to compliment them for things unrelating to how they look. Because I feel like when I constantly see someone else being praised for how they look, it makes me think, oh, this is how I show my value to others. This is how I receive praise, by being pretty. And so there's a little weird part of my brain that's like, okay, let's maybe rewire that. Maybe if, you know, we can tap into that and instead praise people for reasons unrelating, we can see people can have value for all sorts of different things. I also feel like it's a little bit more thoughtful, and at least for me, it hits a little bit more when someone compliments me for things that are a little bit harder to notice instead of like, oh, just like, oh, you look cute today. That's always really nice to hear. But when you see someone has gone that extra mile, it's also a reminder to myself, like, oh, this part of me is important too. How I express myself, how eloquent I am, how thoughtful I am towards someone, or how nice I am, that is something that people can notice. And it makes you want to reinforce those parts of yourself too. Just another way of showcasing that we should be valuing people, especially women, who are often told that beauty is like, you know, that correlates with your value entirely. No, we can value people for all sorts of reasons. Thank you very much. Side note for people also. When you compliment people for things, I think it's mindful to not always praise friends for losing weight, because I feel like that can lead to a very unhealthy and really complicated relationship to praise and worth and weight loss. Everyone obviously handles this differently, but I try not to praise people overtly for losing weight, because you also never know how they lost that weight or how they might feel about losing that weight. And so always framing it a certain way, I think, is just not very healthy. And the smallest physical size that a person is at does not always necessarily mean that is the happiest version of that person. And when I think about this topic as a whole, it oddly makes me really, really grateful for how I was raised, because during my childhood and teenage years, I think the thing that my parents put the most emphasis on was education. That is one of the reasons why I'm such an advocate for education, especially for young people. It's because it showed me, like, oh, this is how I am going to be of value. I'm going to get a good education. I'm going to get a good degree. I'm going to be able to support my family. And that's how I show my value. And although that shouldn't also be the end all be all of a person, in hindsight, it made me realize, like, I really appreciate having been raised that way instead of having my appearances be the primary focus. Anyways, the last point, the last thing you can really do for yourself, and I've touched on this already, but really, go outside, okay? A lot. Touch grass. A lot. I genuinely think the only way of fixing this messed up perception that we acquire by being online too much is stepping outside and seeing what the real world looks like, and seeing what real human beings, real skin, real bodies look like. That's how we rebuild a healthy perception and a healthy relationship with so many of these things. At the end of the day, my outer appearance is both a fun way for me to express myself. It's a creative outlet. And sometimes it can feel like a burden. And that can be exhausting. And I think that that is something that I will likely have to balance, maybe for the rest of my life, but I hope that with every year, that balance gets a little bit better, gets a little bit smoother, gets a little bit healthier. Thank you so much for listening. I feel like I could do a deep dive on all of these topics, which is why it was kind of hard to write this script. This might have been episode one was the hardest, and this is the second hardest, but it's because there's so many things that we can dive into. The upside is that that is infinite content for the podcast, and I would love to hear what you guys want me to talk about. Make sure to let me know over at Don't Tell Anyone on Instagram, and I will see you in the next one. Bye.